Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And I got to tell you, it's always fun, the transition between one set of guests and that segment.
Not a whole lot of time there, Kevin.
Not a whole
and
lot
Kevin,
of time.
Kevin spends most of it talking out in the hallway.
Yeah, I do what you do best, and that is schmoozing. I just want to throw one thing in. We're kind of... he's on a milk
as Joe truck. Takes a swig of milk.
Joe brought a cow with him. He's enjoying yes. it in between.
Yeah, so for those gotten the lowdown on your diet.
No, again? I was just gonna say, for those of you wondering why everyone's commenting on is because for the last week I've been on what's called the gallon of milk a day diet, and you drink a gallon of whole milk a day for 30 days, and you
You're
gain
a
about.
Stick. I don't get it.
You gain about 20
pounds. You're trying to gain weight.
Yeah, I'm trying to gain weight, so you gain about 20 pounds and.
Okay. It's cut perfect. Him off.
I do want to throw it in. We've you know, this evening promoted a couple of different events, and if you folks don't mind, just give me a half a second here. We normally, on a regular basis, promote the Pause for Celebration. They're actually having an event this coming Saturday. Again, another event happening on Saturday. This one's going to be at the Shaw Center in Brockton from 6 to 10 p.m. And it's for a great cause. For the ASPCA, I think I'm saying this correct, the Animal Protection Center of Southeastern Massachusetts. I almost said that wrong. They're having their event, and if you have a chance, please check that out. And any of these events, I usually don't promote events unless I believe in the event, and it's just one of those, we didn't have enough time this evening, but I wanted to at least put a plug out there about the event. Now, joining us in studio... I believe this might be the first time for one of my guests, and I'm very happy to have her here. She's actually doing me a solid because I was doing something with my day job where we were actually shadowing one Josh Cutler.
Shadowing sounds very kind of
it sounds shady.
Yes.
You know, well, of course he is the state rep for the 6th Plymouth District, and part of his district. Our TV station is that's the yes. town of Hanson, because he does Hanson, Pembroke, and Duxbury. And he came up, we had done it earlier when he was a freshman. He was kind of in the bullpen. We had did it with himself and his colleague, Jeff Deal. This time he's like, hey, why don't you come on up, and we'll do a day in the life of a state representative. So we were up there, and I believe it was Agricultural Day.
It was.
And so
good day to come up and visit.
We were down and bouncing around, and we bumped into Representative Nyman. And I said, hey, you know, you're one of the few that we have yet to coerce to come on and do the State House report and talk about what it is. She's, I'm not too sure what it is. I would love to, but I'd like to do it with a crowd. Maybe we have Representative Cutler come on and kind of chat a little bit. Maybe Joe Rossi give him a gallon of milk, and they'll kind of keep him quiet off in the corner. we welcome you, and we hope we can have you on a regular
Absolutely.
Basis.
Absolutely. It feels great to be here. Thank you, Kevin.
Tell us, for folks who don't know your district, what is your district?
So I represent the 5th Plymouth District. That's Hanover, Rockland, and Norwell.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, you scribbled some ideas here.
I hope you're not trying to read my handwriting.
I didn't know you had a DR in the beginning of your name. What's going on up on Beacon Hill? Who wants to be first?
Rhonda is a member of the House Ways and Means Committee, and they're in the process of going through their budget process. So I will defer to my elder colleague here, not only elder in terms of service, not in terms of chronology, of course.
You know, I did this for you as a favor. You know that, Josh, right? I like you, so that's why I'm here. But no, just kidding. But sure, I'll start off as a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. I'd just like to comment and let you know that we travel across the Commonwealth as we listen to a lot of the state agencies and departments about their funding priorities for the FY15 budget. So it was great to do that. And also, we hosted a hearing in Hanover. I co-hosted a hearing.
You got to chair that, right?
Senator Tommy Kennedy. Excellent. In Hanover. So that was kind of exciting to have that in my hometown there. But what's going to happen next is the budget's going to come out. We're hoping about April 9th in the House. And a week after that, we should be taking up some amendments to that budget. And the following week of April, I think it's the 28th, the last week of April, we'll be debating the budget. So we have listened to a lot of people as I went across the Commonwealth, and I heard a lot of good things. So looking forward to that.
Now, what's that like to have to, you know, once you kind of gather all that information, and you being someone who represents your district, being called by the certain municipalities to come in. Now, I thought I had heard something on our news here that you might have had a chance to talk with the folks in Norwell and give them kind of an update. What's that like to kind of give them either the good news or the bad news as to what they might see for the upcoming fiscal year?
Oh, sure, Kevin. And we try to be positive always, but certainly it's helpful for us to come back. And I was at the Board of Selectmen's meeting last week, and, you know, we can kind of give them an update of what's going on, just a little insight. So we get it kind of firsthand. So it's helpful for me to go out, and I reach to all of my Boards of Selectmen's. I like to go and speak to them and let them know what we've heard.
Did you have to share the floor with State Senator Bob Hedlund?
I missed that, unfortunately.
Oh,
I did, yeah. We did.
That's a good time, right there.
We did share some time back in January when we were talking about 40B issues, but unfortunately, we had a scheduling conflict that night. But sure.
Okay. Now, was there something that you wanted to add in regards to some of the things going on?
I just want to comment that it is nice that it's warmer here because I've had this chill all day. I'm so tired of this weather, and it's nice to come in here where it's nice and toasty warm and be with all of you. Okay. So it's great to be here. No, seriously. Thank you for having us on again, Kevin and Joe. We appreciate it.
This is the State House report. So
this is the State House. Oh, this isn't the weather report?
Well, this is the expanded State House
okay.
report.
Or had the Red Sox report. Not a great game, but
they lost.
2-1. That's all right. But lots going on. It's a busy season up on Beacon Hill. Rhonda and I have been bumping into each other at all these events lately. You know, one of the things that I have been involved with lately is a more serious topic, fortunately, is the whole issue of drug addiction. Particular opiate addiction. We've seen how, unfortunately, this has become almost an epidemic here in southeastern Massachusetts. And there's a lot that, frankly, that needs to be done. So we've been working on this. I attended a hearing in Plymouth just the other day. We had a number of folks from my district come and testify about the whole drug epidemic, what we can do, some of the steps we can take. And it's a complicated issue. There's one particular facet of it that I've been sort of trying to learn a little bit more about, and that is there's a new drug coming on the market called Zohydro. Senator John Keenan, who just wrote a terrific op-ed piece that was in the Ledger a few days back about this. I encourage listeners out there to take a look if they can. But this is a new drug. It's supposed to be 5 times more powerful than OxyContin, and the FDA just approved it despite their own independent advisory board voting 11-2 against it. They went against their own board. So it's very concerning because for a number of reasons. One is just because it's 5 times more powerful than OxyContin, but it doesn't come in tamper-proof form. So folks can crush it up and, you know, redistribute it, cut it, lace it with something else. And so it's very easy to get out in the streets, get the kids. It doesn't have that tamper-resistant format. Mm. So that's a significant concern. Here at the legislature, we've been trying to address it. Some states have already tried to outright ban Zohydro, which would be preferable. Unfortunately, that's unlikely to survive a legal challenge, so we want to do something that's going to be, you know, a permanent fix here. So we've crafted some legislation that's going to be being introduced later this week. Again, my colleague Senator Keenan and Chairwoman Malia and some other good folks have been working on this to try to really have some tight regulations to so that we have a strict enforcement of Zohydro in terms of who can prescribe it. We don't want it to be, for instance, one of the restrictions is that it not be available in emergency rooms, because that can be oftentimes a way to abuse prescription drugs. So certain doctors, you know, you have to have a specialty. You'd have to have a be part of what's called a prescription monitoring program, which is a law that was put into effect last session, which is a way to try to control the issue of what we call doctor shopping, for lack of a better term, where folks might have a prescription, try to shop around at different doctors, get multiple prescriptions. And so we're trying to put a stop to that by sort of centralizing the database so that people can better track that kind of information. Also make the actual prescriptions more tamper resistant so that you can't forge the prescriptions slips. So things of that nature, it's a concern, and it's something we definitely want to address very quickly.
Representative, you want to speak to that?
No, I'd just like to thank everybody's leadership on that. I think it's safe to say that it's an epidemic, you know, crisis out there with a lot of these people and their families. And I'd just like to say thank you for all you're doing, Josh.
I have to ask, I know that there's been a lot of legislation that's been put forth to try to prevent the doctor shopping and to make sure that any script that is written, that it's tamper-proof. When does it go beyond putting together laws and financing the education to head this off? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those problems that you got to hit from every angle. You can't just hit it from one angle or it's not going to work. You got to hit it from the education angle. Mm-hmm. There's a great representative, Tom Calter from Kingston, is doing some great work on this. He's got a forum that he's sponsoring actually tomorrow night at Plymouth North. I encourage folks to stop in. It's 7 p.m. at Plymouth North to, educate parents, educate us, as legislators. We need to be educated. Educate our school folks. And funding is an issue. Enforcement is an issue. It's a multifaceted kind of thing. It's not just one way to handle it. Joe, jump in here.
No, I was going to say that he also, when he was in studio a couple weeks ago, was mentioning how he wants to put a push on bringing resource officers back into the schools, which mm-hmm. I know in Marshfield there's a rotating resource officer.
In the past couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, the past couple of weeks, that, and that was one of the big things. I think that you can probably attest to that being another major piece of the education part.
Yeah, in fact, just to tell a quick little story, I was at the DARE graduation over in Hanson about a week and a half ago. They have a great DARE program over in Hanson. Rick Nazaluski, or I always botch his last name, but he does a terrific job, and unfortunately he's retiring this year. But, before the program got started, a young woman got up and started to tell a story about her brother who had who she lost to drugs. Mm. And so she had a speech prepared. I was sitting backstage and I kind of see her. And she started to read it and she got very emotional and she couldn't get through the speech. And so one of her friends came up and consoled her and started to continue the speech. And she too teared up. And finally Police Chief, the Hanson Police Chief, Mike Mix, got up and he stepped forward and he finished the speech. And even he, he's a big, big tough guy. Even he, was misty-eyed by the end of it. Just hearing about this young man who he lost because of addiction. And it just made me, it really hit home for me. There's the old saying, addiction doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter what kind of community you live in. It doesn't matter if you come from a good family and go to good schools.
That's correct.
It happens. And so that really had an impact on me. And I think it was great that Hanson does have a great DARE program. I know all of our law enforcement are doing the very best that they can with limited resources. And it goes back to Joe's point that we do need to get them more resources. And I know that's something Rhonda has been very active in trying to do as well for her community. So,
Sure, Josh. And I'd just like to intervene a little bit and just say I too was at the fifth grade DARE graduation in Hanover, as I've been the last 3 or 4 years. And my two daughters are graduates of the DARE program there as well. And I know the benefit that it does for the students and how important it is for them to have a resource like that at the schools and at such a young age. I would like to just applaud our officer, Mike McKeever. I know he's been there for a long time, and I think the DARE program in Hanover is not, I think it's privately funded. I think it was the state used to kick in the years back, but certainly now. So not all the communities have those resources, so I think this would be wonderful. I think it would be something that we could certainly help and try to move forward.
What have you been hearing from folks in your district in regards to the things that were, the epidemic? Are they asking for more finances to get deeper into schools? I mean, I know there was a point in time that they wanted to try to reach out to middle school, right around middle school, sixth grade. Are folks looking for funding to try to have programs to talk to parents who are in fourth and fifth grade? What are you hearing?
I think that's crucial. I think that's what they're lacking at this point. Certainly more resources to parents and to students is something that I think we really need to address.
Yeah, if you look at some of the, we've had a number of arrests around the South Shore, heroin trafficking arrests. We had one in Duxbury not too long ago, another one in Pembroke. It tends to be not to scapegoat younger folks, but it's tending to be 18 to 25, that time frame. So I think that's where we got to hit folks, and even earlier, to try to educate them. You know, people, old folks like me, you know, it's not to say that it doesn't happen at that level, but I think, you know, it's the decisions that you make when you're younger tend to have influence later on. And so I think the dollars that we can spend hitting kids at a younger age are going to pay off much more so.
Sure.
Anything in your individual communities that you want to talk about, whether it's, you know, somewhere that your hometown or, I mean, you get a lot. I actually wanted to ask you, Josh.
You're not going to ask me about the rapper, I hope.
No.
Okay.
No, actually, I will have to say, though, is that my significant other actually broke it here on.
No kidding.
Yes.
Good for you, Sandy.
Because, yes, Sandy was on her way down to, she was actually, I think, on her way to go shopping and saw the whole thing. Actually hopped on the horn to Ed Perry. Goes, Ed, this is going on. The first thing Ed was like, where's Tachi? Why isn't Tachi? And I was actually doing something in Boston, and Larry Nelson leapt into service and reported on it most of the day.
Made national news. It did.
News. Just because the guy is
he's a TV individual star. Yeah,
I was going to ask you about. I know that a couple of months ago, you and Senator Tom Kennedy were in attendance at a town meeting, looking to do something in regards with the MSBA and the town of Hanson, looking to do something with a school project. And it seems as though that community is still looking at this whole thing. Give me your thoughts on have you heard any updates as far as...
I think the latest information is that the school committee and the Whitman Hanson School Committee voted to move forward, and now it's up to the Hanson Board of Selectmen vote whether or not to take action. I think their options are to A, schedule a town election, town meeting, or to take no action. And I think I don't know that decision has been made, but I think the presumption is that they're going to move forward with the town election.
And just to rectify, I know that you were there basically just talking about the whole MSBA mechanism and the funding that was being put forth.
Right. That's so about 50% of the project is being paid for, or would be paid for, depending on the folks what they decide to do with Hanson. Paid for by the MSBA, which is really. You know, I would say a success story for state government in terms of, you know, funding school projects. You know, you always hear about the bad stuff, but I think this is a good example of something that really works well if you compare it to the way we used to fund our school projects, where, you know, if you're a city or town, you weren't sure if you're going to get reimbursed for, you know, it could be 10 years before you actually saw the money. Now it's, you know, 15 days you're getting reimbursed, and it's all handled in a terrific, efficient way. They have auditing to, you know, to make sure we're catching any kind of cost savings we can. And so the MSBA, the Mass School Building Authority, is a really great program, and it's provided, you know, in my community of Pembroke, we were able to pay for some new roofs. Duxbury is going to open up a brand new high school this summer even. And in Hanson, you know, once folks decide what they want to do with, whether it's
a new
elementary school, whether it's like a renovated school, I mean, at some point something's going to happen. It needs to happen. And the MSBA is, you know, is going to be there to partner with us, which is great.
Did you want to?
Sure. So I have some good news to talk about for the town of Rockland. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
If I bring that up, it's actually for our seniors in the town of Rockland. They'll have a brand new Rockland Senior Center on Plain Street, and they're going to have the dedication, and it will be on Saturday, June 7th. And Senator Keenan and I were very instrumental in the start of the application for that process. So we're very proud to be able to talk about that. And, you know, certainly that senior center is going to be a new home for the seniors, and it's going to be a great asset for the town of Rockland. So we're really excited about that. So that's Saturday, June 7th on Plain Street in Rockland. So we're happy for our seniors.
That's awesome. Terrific. Well done. Yeah, we like to hear that. I was just over at the Pembroke Senior Center this Saturday for a fun little event. For those of you who may know, there used to be a Pembroke Bee on top of the
I
senior
saw those
center.
Pictures.
Did anybody see those? And so it sort of fallen into disrepair over the years. It was put up in 1970s, I forget the exact year, by Mr. Richard Edlund. And a Girl Scout, a young Girl Scout in Pembroke, took it on as a project to try to rehab it, along with the help of Michelle Burt, one of our members of our selectmen. And they enlisted the help of a fellow named David Litchfield, who does signs, and he was kind enough to donate his services. So he totally fixed up the bee, gave it a nice coat of paint, and I'm sure, you know, they put some special stuff on it that I'm not explaining very well. And on Saturday, they reinstalled it. And so they had the DPW, the folks from Pembroke DPW, there to lift the bee up. And it's a, you know, pretty good size bee. I don't know. as bees go, it's probably, you know, And it's all gilded. And so they lifted it up and they installed it right on top of the spire, on top of the Pembroke Council on Aging building. And so if you drive by there through Pembroke Center, you can see it now. It's nice to have a town symbol sort of back where it belongs. Okay. Or should I say back where it belongs. Ba-dum-ba-da.
Sure.
You know. Should be a rim shot somewhere.
Jeez.
Something else that we should probably also mention, that is the Valor Act. I believe it's the second version of this. I believe the two of you have been working on that as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Rhonda, why don't you take that? Rhonda's been doing great work. We passed an update to the Valor Act last week.
Yep.
And
that's great. It's great to see that we still build upon the commitments that we set out. You know, Massachusetts is the national leader in providing services for and benefits for our veterans. So we're certainly happy to do that. You know, we passed the Valor Act back at the last legislative session back in 2012. So I'm glad we did that again just last week. You know, certainly just a couple of things that we'll do for our veterans is provide increased property tax relief. You know, as it will create some home modifications to a program to help injured veterans stay in their homes and function independently, which is great. It will also help students who are currently in college who may be called to active duty. And this way here, they can complete their coursework without penalty. And, you know, they won't have to withdraw and receive a tuition refund. So just a few things like that it touches on. So we're glad to do that. It's certainly always awesome to take care of our veterans.
Yeah, no, I think especially the thing about the college is great, because I've seen that where I've known, you know, kids in my community who've been in the middle of a semester and had to leave to go fulfill their military obligation. And, you know, it's a shame for them to be penalized for that. So this bill kind of fixes that, which is great. One other thing I'd add to that, Kevin, is I think the fellow who the Westboro Baptist fellow was recently passed away. And one of the changes in the law was to stiffen penalties for folks who disturb military funerals and military services. You know, we have you know, we have the First Amendment, we have freedom of speech, and certainly that is appropriate. However, there's also balance, and you know, it's just like you can't cry fire in a crowded theater.
Time and place.
There's a time and place, and so folks can make their protests, but it's not. You know, setting some time, place, and manner restrictions is certainly appropriate, and I think is necessary, so we don't have folks interrupting these types of morals. And so this law puts some more teeth into that to prevent that sort of thing from reoccurring. So I was glad to see that.
Anything you wanted to say, John?
And that was, by the way, that was Rep. Campbell who did some great work on that. We should credit Jim Campbell from Marshall for doing that.
Well, I was just going to add to Josh, I saw a thing on online where you actually had proposed a piece of legislation that would expand the hours of the HOV lane. And I was actually interested about that because I often travel through the 93 Expressway to work. I would never be able to use it because I'm always by myself. But I find it interesting that you propose that simply because I've always wondered about the use of that lane or lack of therefore the use of it and possibly expanding. So what is the kind of the idea behind that?
Yeah, great. Well, it was actually a selectman in my town in Pembroke, Dan Trubuco, brought the idea to me. He was a commuter that got up pretty early, and so he was on the road by 5:30, 6 o'clock, and unfortunately, the commuter, the zipper lane, we're talking about the zipper lane.
Yes.
We call it the HOV lane, but really everyone calls it the zipper lane, can sometimes actually start to fill up before 6 o'clock when it officially opens. Same thing on the flip side, if you're coming out of Boston in the afternoon, the zip lane doesn't open until the afternoon, you know, there'll already be a line forming, a queue forming before it opens up. So the idea is, you know, we're already paying for the zip lane, we've already got it installed, it's already there. Let's just expand the hours and let's make it, you know, so that more folks can take advantage of it in a broader range of hours. You know, folks' commuter times are shifting and people are expanding the hours that they're commuting into Boston, and so I think we just want to see the zipper lane kind of change with the times and stay updated. But Joe, to your point, I have two bills on the topic of the zipper lane. One is to do that. The other is actually something that might help you if you had an electric vehicle.
Well, this still won't help me.
No, it still won't help. Well, you know, maybe you'll change it. Maybe you'll
change. He likes octane for some reason.
He likes octane. Yeah, maybe we can get a vehicle that runs on milk. And then he can really...
He's working on it.
No, but the bill is to... it's just to create incentives for folks to use electric vehicles to allow folks who have an electric vehicle to travel in HOV lanes. So both those bills are things that we're trying to push. And, you know, we've had good support, Representative Cantwell and Calter and Rhonda here.
I'd certainly
supporting
I'd
it
certainly
as well.
Support so, that as well, Josh. That would be any way you could keep it open, like most, you know, in late into the night, kind of like the tea. Running late hours, that would be great.
Yeah, as long as they don't stick their hand out looking forward to hike the fees, like we've heard that they're looking to go up again.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
we're going in the wrong direction on that.
Well, I mean, is there any word? I mean, it's something that we're probably going to break into conversation with. We've got Mayor Joe Sullivan, who's going to be joining us after this segment. But has there been any discussion with your colleagues when it comes to fiscal year 2015 of trying to see if we can find funding to expand service on the South Shore?
Well, one of the big priorities for us here on the South Shore is to try to restore what we lost in terms of our weekend service for Greenbush, for the Middleborough lines. As folks know, it was just a little over a year ago, that we lost our weekend service, one of the few areas of the state that doesn't have weekend commuter rail service. So, you know, when the Red Sox won the World Series, you know, if you want to go up with your family, celebrate, see the parade, anywhere, if you lived anywhere in Massachusetts, you know, in Metro Boston, you could do it, except here in the South Shore. So there's a gentleman from my community in Duxbury, Richard Perrone, who's been very active trying to get folks on board. no pun intended. I'm full of puns tonight, huh?
Yes, man.
I think I had too much coffee before I came over here, Kevin. I'll have to switch to decaf. But Rhonda and I have been working on this as well. So, you know, it's an uphill battle because there's a funding issue, and we got to convince the powers that be that there's going to be ridership for this, because this has to be self-sustaining. We can't just, you know, create the funding for it. So that's an issue that we're trying to, you know, focus on as a region. And again, you know, working together, Democrat, Republican, just try to get all our South Shore reps on board to try to push for that. So that's going to be something we'll work on this spring.
Certainly there's a need for it.
Well, we're just about out of time. Again, we want to thank our state representative, Rhonda Nyman, and Representative Josh Cutler. You want to say something in closing, either of you?
Yeah, can I just give a plug? Friday, April 11th, in the town of Hanson, we're going to do one of our We're All in This Together events. And it's Friday morning at 9:30 a.m. at the Hanson Senior Center. Again, that's Friday, April 11th. And basically, the idea is to bring together folks who provide social services, provide help, bring those folks together with people who may need help, and get everybody in the same room talking and see if we can help folks. You know, everybody has, everyone always faces, this, you know, life's temporary challenges. Everyone faces them here and there. And so we'll have experts on hand. We'll talk about, you know, ways to help get back on the job search, update your resume, apply for fuel assistance, seek mortgage foreclosure prevention relief, apply for property tax abatements if you're a veteran or you know, a senior citizen or whatever your status may be. So we'll have a number of experts on hand who will you know, offer information about how you can get a little help. So I encourage folks to come join it. It's a free program. Again, it's at the Hanson Council on Aging, Friday, April 11th at 9:30 in the morning.
No, just real quick, Kevin, just the Noel Chamber of Commerce on Thursday, May 8th, I'll be with Treasurer Steve Grossman at the Norwell Chamber for a luncheon, and we will address the state of the economy throughout the Commonwealth and things that are important to things in my district. That will be held at 124 Washington Street in Norwell at 12 p.m. So everybody's welcome if they'd like to stop by for the luncheon with Treasurer Steve Grossman and myself. So thank you.
Thank you very much, and we'll hope to have you in. You'll be part of the rotation now?
Sure, sounds great.
Awesome.
Sure. Awesome.
We're going to thank both of you. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to speak with Braintree Mayor Joe Sullivan. Don't go anywhere.